Now, dear listener, don't fret. Despite what you might think for the next 2 minutes, this is The Space Show. The next song is relevant to one of our space topics this evening. And that song, My UAE, was sung by Emirati schoolchildren celebrating the United Arab Emirates. Now, welcome to The Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie. On this evening's The Space Show, we go to the United Arab Emirates Mohammed bin Rashid Space Centre, then to Tanegashima in Japan, and then to Wenchang in Hainan, and then pop down to Melbourne. Yes, it's an Asian space show this evening. Oh, and we may even get time to celebrate a special space technology anniversary. We'll see how we go on that. So, we're going to have a special thing happening on Friday, all going well. It was to have happened this morning, but they had bad weather in Tanegashima. So let's hear all about it now.
10, 9. For decades, we've watched the world's race for destination, space. Our hearts cheering every countdown, every language all over the world. Isn't it time we invite the world to watch us? Join us on July 15th when we launch the Hope Probe to Mars. When our voice will echo our ancestors' legacy. When our voice will make history with the first Arabic countdown the world has ever heard.
The United Arab Emirates aims to be among the top countries in the field of aerospace by 2021. Yeah, folks, that's next year. This documentary feature from the UAE Space Agency's Mohammed bin Rashid Space Center explains how an unmanned mission to Mars will help achieve that aim. During this, we're going to hear the voices of Ibrahim Al-Kwasami, who's the Deputy Project Manager, Sarah Amiri, who's the Deputy Project Manager and the Science Lead, and Omran Sharaf, the Project Manager for the Emirates Mars Mission, and Sahel Al-Mihiri, the Deputy Project Manager involved in spacecraft development.
Mars is a mysterious planet that has always fascinated people on Earth. We still have plenty of unanswered questions.
For instance, we know there is water on Mars, but only in the form of ice and vapor. Water can't exist on Mars as liquid because the atmosphere has become too thin. Oxygen and hydrogen, the building blocks of water, are being lost into space. We also know that Mars has some exotic weather, like massive dust storms, similar to those on Earth, which are more brief and localized. On Mars, the dust storms can engulf the entire planet and rage on for months.
Our science mission is to produce the first ever truly global picture of the Martian atmosphere. This is the first holistic study of the Martian climate and how the layers of its atmosphere fit together.
We will model the connections between all the different components of the Martian climate, including all the temperatures, winds, dust, and clouds.
Scientists on Earth will use the data that will be sent by the probe to build a complete dynamic picture of the Martian climate. This is something that has never been seen before.
Our data will give the international science community a deeper and richer understanding of the Martian atmosphere.
First, this will help us to model Earth's atmosphere and how it will evolve with time over millions of years. Second, it will allow us to analyze newly discovered planets far across the galaxy to be able to determine if there is life on it.
We will share the data freely with more than 200 universities and research institutes around the world. This is our contribution to human knowledge.
We want the orbiter to arrive at Mars in 2021. The UAE's 50th anniversary. Earth and Mars align their orbits once every 2 years. So we have a very short launch window in July 2020. We have to be ready by then. There will be no second chance. It's a race against time.
The spacecraft will be launched in the nose cone of a rocket.
The rocket must exceed 40,000 kilometers per hour to break out of Earth's gravity.
The set of boosters and rocket stages will fire up and fall away in turn.
It will fire its thrusters and accelerate to 100,000 kilometers per hour.
Then the spacecraft will separate from the launcher.
It will unfold the solar panels and point the spacecraft toward the sun to charge the batteries.
The journey across the solar system will take around 7 months. As it travels, the spacecraft needs to figure out its location. There's no GPS in deep space.
So the spacecraft will use star trackers to navigate using patterns of constellations.
This is similar to the way our ancestors used the stars to find their way in the desert and at sea.
When the spacecraft gets close to Mars, it'll have to use its thrusters as brakes. It'll need to slow down to 14,000 kilometers per hour to enter orbit.
This will be a tense time at mission control in the UAE. The thrusters must fire for 30 minutes at precisely the right time. If anything goes wrong, the spacecraft will pass Mars and the mission will fail.
But we can't control the spacecraft in real time from Earth. When it's so far away, signals can take more than 14 minutes to arrive. Its brain will be sophisticated enough to make its own decisions.
Look back in history. The Middle East was once a powerhouse for innovation and science. Muslim civilizations were once pioneers in mathematics and astronomy. This will be the first ever Arab-Islamic mission to another planet.
The Emirates Mars mission will have a major impact and a legacy here in the UAE. That's because of the approach that we took to planning and building this mission.
The easy way to do it would have been to go and buy technologies and expertise from big space agencies and companies.
We decided to do it ourselves, to build it ourselves, and to learn with our partners along the way. This mission is managed by a 100% Emirati team.
Emirati universities and research institutions will work on the science. That way we get to build the knowledge and keep the skills. This mission will be the catalyst for a new generation of Arab scientists and engineers. It will be an anchor project for the space and science sector here in the UAE.
That's one reason I'm so proud and excited to be part of the mission as an Emirati and as an Arab.
It's very symbolic for an Arab and Muslim country to launch an interplanetary mission. We have taken a step beyond just looking at the skies. We are going there.
I think it will change the way young people look at their region.
It will help us think positively and see hope and opportunity. If a small young Arab nation is able to reach Mars, truly anything is possible.
And on the space show, we're going to stay at the Mohammed bin Rashid Space Center in the UAE to hear about the science objectives of the HOPE spacecraft to Mars.
Mars is thought to have had a much thicker, warmer atmosphere billions of years ago. But how did Mars transition to the cold, thin, and dry atmosphere it has today? In order to understand the history of Mars's climate, we must focus on its atmosphere. Our understanding of Mars's atmosphere has been significantly limited by the fixed local time measurements, leaving most of the Mars day-to-night cycle unexplored over much of the planet. Important atmospheric information is missing. Emirates Mars Mission, EMM, and its spacecraft HOPE will be able to observe and investigate Mars's lower and upper atmosphere simultaneously. Views of the planet's surface at multiple times of the day will enable unprecedented observations of the physical processes that drive the global atmosphere. EMM will be the first to reveal the connection between these conditions in the lower atmosphere and the escape of hydrogen and oxygen from the upper atmosphere. As these are the building blocks of water, this is a process that may have been responsible for the transition of Mars's climate. The mission will investigate the atmosphere of Mars using a combination of three primary scientific instruments to image the planet in the visible, infrared, and ultraviolet wavelengths. Emirates Exploration Imager, the EXI, is a multi-band 12-megapixel imager with a dual-channel optic system. It consists of six spectral bands covering three UV bands and the RGB bands. These bands will not only help us to capture beautiful high-resolution images of Mars, but will also allow us to measure the optical depths of dust and water ice in the Martian atmosphere at 220 nanometers and 320 nanometers respectively, as well as the column abundance of ozone at the 260 nanometer. Emirates Mars Infrared Spectrometer, EMIRS, is an interferometric thermal infrared spectrometer capable of scanning in the 60 to the 40 plus micrometer range using a rotating mirror, allowing us to measure the global distribution of key atmospheric parameters over the Martian day-to-night cycle and year, including dust, ice clouds, water vapor, and temperature profiles. EMIRS will also provide the linkages from the lower to the upper atmosphere in conjunction with EMUs and EXI observations. The Emirates Mars Ultraviolet Spectrometer, the EMUs, is a far ultraviolet spectrometer with a spectral range of 100 to 170 nanometers to make the required observations of ultraviolet emissions of hydrogen, oxygen, and carbon monoxide. EMUs will measure relative changes in the thermosphere and the structure of both the hydrogen and oxygen exospheres. Additionally, it will measure changes in the structure of the corona with seasons, solar inputs, and lower atmosphere forcing. This will help to determine what is driving changes in the corona.
And now we pop over to Tanegashima, which is a space launch base in Japan. Now, engineers to prepare the HOPE spacecraft are already at Tanegashima, and they had this to say earlier this week.
My name is Mohammed Amran Al-Amri. I work as an EIT engineer. My main focus is to support the mechanical ground support equipment that allow us to do the integration and the final preparation for the EMM. I've been preparing the EMM stock, which is a mechanical ground support equipment that helps us to control the axes on the EMM, like horizontal, vertical, and one rotational degree. As well, I've been supporting the team to set up the mass properties fixture. These fixtures allow us to measure the fuel amount that goes into the propellant tank in the EMM, as well as to measure the center of gravity of the EMM. Before starting the fueling operation, we prepared the mass properties fixture. The mass property fixtures allow us to measure the weight of the propellant that goes into the EMM, as well as the center of gravity. Those values are used in the attitude and operating control subsystem that will help the EMM to control its direction and attitude accurately.
Hi, my name is Aisha Sharafi. I'm the spacecraft propulsion engineer for the Emirates Mars Mission Hope Probe. On July 15, the Hope Probe will launch to Mars. It's the first Arab interplanetary mission. As my role in that project, I work on the propulsion subsystem, which is a subsystem that will provide the spacecraft with the fuel and the force needed to get into its Martian orbit.
My name is Isa Al-Mahari. I'm the electrical power subsystem engineer on the Hope spacecraft. My job consists of getting the battery ready by charging it to its expected state of charge prior to launch and to the expected voltage. In addition to that, I work on getting the ground support equipment ready to test the spacecraft. And this includes many tests that ensure that the spacecraft is performing nominally. In addition to that, also I'm checking that the power subsystem is performing as expected.
This mission to Mars is really for the hope of the Arab world and sending them a message to say you can be better, you can improve your country, you can reach where you want.
We looked at Mars because Mars is difficult to get to and it's quite a challenging objective to set upon a team. This also raises the appetite for risk for the team. And that was something that is at the foundation of the UAE's next 50 years plan as development of the country. We want to better understand how a planet that is sort of similar to ours has evolved throughout millions of years, and how has it gotten to the stage that it's at today.
And from Tanaka Shima, we now whiz back to Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, where Neil deGrasse Tyson spoke about hope.
This space is a gateway subject into the sciences. All of these, physics, planetary geology, biology, chemistry, medicine, all of this matters when you go into space. So it is the ideal driver of STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math. And STEM fields are the engines of tomorrow's economy. So if you want to become an innovation nation, engage in some space projects. I'm old enough to remember this. It was all about the future. Just the feeling that that was. I didn't even know I wanted to be an astrophysicist yet, but I was being imprinted. This is the Unisphere in World's Fair in New York City with three rings around it, evocative of the three orbits of John Glenn. It was all about the future. Then we started acting on this. The movies, 2001, A Space Odyssey, a rotating space station. We started thinking of tomorrow. What will tomorrow look like? And I'm looking at some of these tall buildings on the right-hand side. This is all nationalities migrating to this city of the future. And I'm looking at that city of the future, I'm saying, some of those buildings look like what you got outside here in Dubai. I'm thinking, y'all already made the city of the future. There, I swear that building is in the other drawing. I swear. And by the way, this is drawing on what is already a legacy from the golden age 1,000 years ago. You're not pulling this out of nothing. It's got a precedent. Every time I have an occasion back in the United States, I tell people, what do we call our numerals? Arabic numerals. Algebra, algorithm. These are Arabic words. I remind everyone back in the United States, from an era where people thought about the future and thought about what role science and technology would play, to lead the world in science, technology, engineering, and math. So whether or not you colonize, the very fact that space is on your agenda will transform your present and the future.
Recorded in 2014, that was Maya Venus with Long Live the UAE. Now, following last year's astronaut flight to the International Space Station and now the HOPE mission to Mars, perhaps she should add an extra two verses.
Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
Where you're listening to The Space Show. Now, the HOPE spacecraft will be launched from Tanegashima in Japan. It was to have been launched this morning, but yesterday when they went to drag the rocket out of the shed and off to the launch pad, it was pelting down with rain, and they said, we don't want to get our rocket wet, thanks very much, and I kept it in the shed. So it's due to go off on Friday morning, our time, at 6:43. There's going to be a live broadcast of it on the internet from Japan and from the United Arab Emirates starting at 4 a.m. our time. So any time after 4 o'clock, you can tune in and listen to it on the internet. Well, their HOPE mission is not the only one heading off to Mars. Here's details about some of the others.
In 2020, three missions will take advantage of an ideal Earth-Mars configuration to explore the red planet. Launch date from Cape Canaveral, July 2020. The US mission, Mars 2020, aims to land a rover vehicle on the planet's surface. Once it's landed in February 2021, NASA's Perseverance will explore the site known as the Jezero Crater, formerly a lake, in search of signs of ancient life. Around 40 rock and soil samples will be collected and placed in tubes, ready to be brought back to Earth by a later mission. The first Chinese mission to Mars is due in the same period. A Long March 5 rocket will take off from the tropical island of Hainan. Called Tianwen, or Questions to Heaven, the mission has three aims. Place a probe in orbit around Mars, land on the surface, then release a remote-guided robotic rover to conduct analyses. In mid-July, the United Arab Emirates is set to launch Al Amal, which means hope in Arabic, from Tanegashima in Japan, part of celebrations to mark the country's 50th anniversary in 2021. This first Arab mission will study Mars' atmosphere. To do this, it'll be equipped with an infrared spectrometer to measure the planet's lower atmosphere, a high-resolution imager to provide information about the ozone, and an ultraviolet spectrometer to measure oxygen and hydrogen levels.
So now on the space show, we're going to be looking at Tianwen and what it's going to be doing. We've known for several years that China was planning a mission to Mars, but we didn't know the name of it until recently. Here's how it was announced.
China's space agency has unveiled the name of its first mission to Mars. Tianwen 1 is expected to head to the red planet later this year. The mission will allow scientists to study the atmosphere, surface, and geological characteristics of Mars' magnetic field. Today also marks China's annual Space Day and the 50th anniversary of its first satellite launch. President Xi Jinping has called on aerospace scientists and engineers to speed up progress in China's space industry. If successful, the country's Mars probe will be the first in the world to finish three missions at the same time. But scientists warn many unknown challenges lie ahead.
Hello, welcome to China Mosaic. I'm Xu Yi. 50 years ago, China successfully launched its first satellite into space. In 2003, the country's first manned spacecraft blasted off. 4 years later, in 2007, its first moon orbiter was launched. And now in 2020, on the country's Space Day, China unveiled the name of its new planetary exploration mission, Tianwen. Just like China's moon orbiter Chang'e and its quantum science satellite Mozi, the name Tianwen is also deeply rooted in traditional Chinese culture and has special significance. It comes from the long poem Tianwen, or Questions to Heaven, written by Qu Yuan, one of the greatest Chinese poets who lived during the Warring States period. In over 1,500 Chinese characters, the poem raises more than 100 questions concerning the origin of the universe, the structure of heaven and earth, the alternation of day and night, and the movement of stars. Qu Yuan even asks about myths and legends, as well as the rise and fall of dynasties. While many of the rhetorical questions about historical events reflect Chu Yuan's political views, his imagination and questioning of the universe and heavenly bodies demonstrate ancient Chinese people's pursuit of the unknown. China's planetary exploration missions also inherit the spirit of the poem Tian Wen. Curious about outer space and extraterrestrial life, China plans to launch the country's first Mars probe on a Long March 5 rocket in 2020. The mission is named Tianwen-1, and it aims to complete orbiting, landing, and rowing with this one launch. Mars is the most Earth-like planet in the solar system. It is surrounded by an atmosphere, has a seabed temperature, and a rotation time similar to that of the Earth. Hence, exploring Mars is of great scientific value. Tianwen-1 has inherited the hope of the ancient Chinese people for exploring outer space and is marching towards the opening up of a second home for mankind. As we explained in a previous episode, the names of China's space missions always reflect the country's history and culture, whilst embodying a sense of romanticism. The Tianwen series pays tribute to the past with its inherited spirit, and it will light the way to the future through exploration and innovation.
The Long March 5 rocket, which is going to be launched to going to be used to launch Tianwen-1, is a relatively new rocket. Here's a discussion about how the first version of this was made.
And China has successfully tested the power system of its Long March 5 carrier rocket on Monday. The test marks the completion of the manufacturing phase for the rocket. Now let's take a closer look at the giant rocket that's scheduled to take off in 2016.
A final ground test for maybe the most powerful satellite launcher in the country. The massive rocket at 5 meters in diameter, that's equivalent to a 20-story building. And it has the power to carry 16 cars into outer space at one time.
The capacity of the Long March 5 is twice the current capacity. It reached 25 tons to low Earth orbit or 14 tons to geostationary transfer orbit.
That capacity is the key to serving the newest chapter in China's manned space station development. China's stepping efforts on its manned space program. And its ambitious plans include a permanent space station, manned lunar missions, and a possible manned mission to Mars. The new booster rocket will help to achieve that dream. Its major tasks include a lunar exploration mission and setting up a core cabin of the manned space station. The rocket will be able to carry heavier spacecraft into outer space than ever before, but it will also adopt a more eco-friendly solution.
The Long March 5 is a giant rocket using non-toxic and non-polluting liquefied propellant. Its upcoming tasks include a lunar exploration project and a manned space station.
The largest ever rocket will also help make space exploration a more economical venture. Its size will allow the new rocket to send both cargo spacecraft and satellites into space at the same time.
Our objective for the new carrier rocket is to reduce 20 to 30% of the cost when sending spacecraft into outer space.
After finishing all of its ground tests, the Long March 5 will be shipped to Hainan for its launch scheduled in 2016. Yang Zhao, CCTV.
China is marking its space day today. The country has announced the name of its first Mars mission, calling it Tianwen-1, which means Ask the Sky. Today also marks the 50th anniversary of China's first satellite launch. President Xi Jinping wrote a letter of appreciation to the senior scientists involved in the launch. It was the Dongfang Hong One, which means the East is red. President Xi also encouraged young scientists to learn from the older generations and explore more in China's space program.
China is producing a new generation of large launch vehicles. It's hoped that the Long March 5, which is under development, will support China's aerospace exploration for the next 20 to 30 years, and it will make its first official launch this year.
This is the final testing line of China's largest rocket, the Long March 5. It is 5 meters in diameter and was designed for China's space station mission and also the future exploration to the moon and even to Mars.
5 years ago, we started to make the new generation of rocket. The larger launch vehicle, the Long March 5, will make its first launch in September or October. If successful, it will be key to carrying our rockets of the future.
The Long March 5 is a series of rockets that have two kinds of propellers and three modules. The process of design, construction, and testing of the rocket, including the launch, if successful, will be a world-class breakthrough for China's launch vehicle technology.
The Long March 5 has adopted a new design structure, material, and propelling power. Its carrying capacity is 2.5 times greater than our current launch vehicles.
So far, China has developed 14 models of rockets. They are all in service now. It took less than 50 years. On April 24, 1970, China launched its first man-made satellite, the Dunfanghong 1. It was developed under extremely difficult conditions, but it was the devotion and the sacrifice of that generation of scientists that laid the robust foundation for China's space industry.
This is the testing facility of China's solid rocket motors for China's first man-made satellite, the Dunfanghong 1. Numerous tests here, including those failed ones, have stripped the wall and melted metal. This is a milestone of how China's aerospace industry was built from scratch.
It requires key technologies to make a solid rocket engine. We make many breakthroughs then. For example, the shell material and a formula of propellant. There were many failed tests, big fires and explosions that exposed the steel bars. So we are so excited when it succeeds.
Deep inside the Gobi Desert, the facility's evolution has been impressive. The most prominent example is the Jiuquan Satellite Launch Center. Built in 1958, the center has grown from a missile range to a world-class launch center.
This is where China's manned mission started. 10 spaceships was launched from here, and all of them are manned spaceships. Soon, Shenzhou 11 will launch from the launch pad behind me. This launch pad is specially designed and built for China's manned mission. For a long time, this area was the most confidential areas in China. However, now it is more used for scientific exploration. For example, China's space station and also the exploration to the moon and even to Mars.
We have 11 scheduled launches this year, including two major projects, the Tiangong 2 and Shenzhou 11 manned spaceships. Among these 11 launches, there were three scientific research satellites, the Dark Matter Particle Explorer and Quantum Science Satellite, are scheduled to launch in July.
This year is the 60th anniversary of the establishment of China's aerospace industry. It is also a crucial year for the country's space missions. So far, China's lunar exploration are in their third phase, and they will bring the rock samples back to Earth using the Chang'e 5 lunar probe. Meanwhile, China has also set a goal to launch its first Mars probe in 2020. Ning Hong, CCTV, Beijing.
And we don't have an exact date for the Chinese launch, but it's going to be in the next couple of weeks.
From Sandringham to South Yarra, you're listening to Southern FM.